Marini's Media.
Hello and welcome to the Offside Rule WSL edition. Coming up, England take on England and lose to England whilst England win. Confused? Well, we'll explain.
The FA Cup is back, and will we see Alex Morgan play her first minutes in a Spurs shirt? She's had it on already.
And we're speaking with Arsenal's Jen Beattie.
I'm Lindsay Hooper.
And I'm Kate Forsay. And this week joining us, it's women's football writer at These Footy Times and Our Game magazine and media officer at Sheffield United Women.
It's our very own former web editor at The Offside Rule. It's Rich Laverty. Hello, Rich.
Hi, Rich.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you on. We've not spoken to you for a little while. How are things at Sheffield United?
Yeah, all good. It's been nice to be back. It's been so long, obviously. I mean, we've had pre-season, but actually back playing games. And had a good start to the season. So, yeah, it's just been nice to be back in a football stadium.
You've got sort of a slightly funny situation in the WSL Championship where five teams are all on 4 points. So all of you of those five have all won one and drawn one. So no one's got 100% record yet. What's your feeling about the competitiveness this season? You've been joined, of course, by Liverpool. Equally, Villa have gone up to the WSL.
Yeah, I think it's great because for us last year, kind of when we lost to Aston Villa on the first day of the season, we just never caught them up because there wasn't that competition. You know, we were kind of relying on ourselves and ourselves alone to beat them. Whereas this year, like you say, you've got Liverpool now, you've got Leicester who have invested a lot of money. I think Durham are a bit stronger than last season as well. So it's great because when we played Leicester last week, if we have lost, I don't think it would have been all over because they've got Durham to play next week. They've got Liverpool the week after that and vice versa. If we'd have won, you know, we've got tough games as well. So I think it's leaving it really open and it's exciting. And like you say, everyone having won one and drawn one so far. Liverpool drew against Durham and we drew against Leicester. And I think people would probably put those four down as the main contenders. And it just shows how close it is that none of us have been able to beat each other so far.
As someone within the staff of a football club, give us some insight into how things have changed protocol-wise. I mean, obviously, you're all going through testing, which we're aware of. But, you know, these away trips that you're having to make, what's the process now? How's it all changed?
Yeah, it's settled down a little bit. The first few weeks of pre-season were odd because you had to go through phase one, phase two, phase three. So all the girls were kind of training in very small groups. They couldn't have any sort of group contact or anything like that, and you just get used to it. I mean, now, you know, last season the girls would come in, you know, sit in the canteen, have something to eat, have, you know, chit chat and a catch up before training, and now unless you have having your test, essentially you can't go in the building. The players have to sit in their cars until training starts. With away trips, it's not changed that much. We still go on the coach. Obviously, everyone has to wear their masks and things like that. And just generally being careful, you know, around the hotel. I mean, there's only so much you can do. You know, at the end of the day, you've still got to eat. You've still got to drink and you've still got to go to bed. So
yeah,
there's not a lot that's changed around away trips, to be honest. At the stadium, it was different. Obviously, very, very little contact with the other team in terms of where we are in the stadium and all the sanitising and things like that, and you have access to certain areas that others don't. So it changes on match day a bit, but the actual whole routine's not hugely different.
Rich, is morale as good as it ever was? And has a club like Sheffield United, you know, ramped up in terms of pastoral care? Has there been any intention to, you know, perhaps offer a bit more mental health support there if any of the girls need it? Because, of course, we're not out of this situation and you're in an area up north which has been, you know, flagged up as one of the danger areas. You're, you know, having to travel to other areas. We know that infections are going up as well. So how do you handle it on a long-term basis in terms of kind of players' well-being and mental health?
Yeah, I think now that we're back in, we're just having to take it one week at a time, really, you know. And once we have our tests, you know, they all come back negative, then you kind of through another week sort of thing. So, yeah, I think during lockdown, particularly, you know, there was help there. I think if the players needed it to speak to staff, or because obviously we weren't seeing each other, you know, from essentially March through to whenever we came back, I think it was the end of July, you know, players could speak to whoever they needed to speak to. Obviously, they were locked away. You know, some of them were on their own, some of them were with family. But yeah, I'm sure it was difficult for some. But I think now that we're back in, like you said, morale is just sky high. You know, everyone's just happy to be back in and seeing each other. And I haven't seen any issues so far. Everyone is very, very happy. And I think obviously the good start to the season has helped.
Yeah.
You know, when you come back on the coach from London and you've won 4-1, you know, it's always a great atmosphere. And especially when you've got 4 or 5 hours sitting on a coach with a mask on, it helps with the... definitely helps with morale. So, yeah, things have been good since we came back in, and everybody seems in good spirits. And, yeah, just fingers crossed that it continues.
Well, we will be going on to preview the FA Cup as well later, but we've had so many changes to get used to in 2020. It's been all things new. And at St George's Park, Phil Neville thought that he'd try something new as well by playing England against England. That's coming up next.
For the rest of this month being September 2020, you can take out a subscription to The Athletic for the frankly ridiculous price of just £1 a month. That's unrivaled football writing and analysis from the very best people in the business, a brand spanking new breaking news service, and ad-free versions of each Athletic podcast, all for just £1 a month. Go to theathletic.com/offside to get started.
You're listening to the Offside Rule WSL edition from Muddy Knees Media and The Athletic.
Come on, England. Ooh, come on, England. Lovely goal. Ellen White still pulling out the celebration even in a training game. Oh, and it's spilled and put in by Ellen White for her second. Oh, the White team just turned up the pressure a little bit. Here's Kirby and a close range header. And it's 3-0.
Well, the Lionesses have been in camp this week whilst much of the rest of Europe were campaigning for their team to qualify for the Euros. Phil Neville, well, he took the chance to put his side up against each other. England home versus England away, the Whites versus the Crushed Berries. It was home advantage in the end. Ellen White scoring twice. This is the first game that was televised, and Ella Toon adding a third for the home side to win. Rich was at St George's Park for this one. We'll talk about the second game in a little while, but let's focus on the one that we were all able to see first of all. Rich, what was it like at St George's Park? I saw that you tweeted a photo of the socially distanced press box.
Yes, it was... yeah, again, it's just one of those things you have to get used to now that we sort of do press conferences sat out in the stand. We're all sort of hooked into the same video, looking at the same person, yet we're all sort of sat next to each other while doing it. So it's, yeah, that was a little bit odd. But like I said, I'm not going to complain too much because I think all of us are in quite a privileged position to be able to go to these games and actually watch some football whilst everyone else is sat at home. So I think we've all just adapted to it, and it was nice to actually be back and watching an England game.
How seriously should we take this this match, Rich, in terms of performances, in terms of the result? I mean, you look at the back three that conceded those goals, which included captain Steph Horton. You've got Alex Greenwood as part of that back three, Millie Bright as well. You'd think they'd be quite assured. Is there any concern we should have from that?
Yeah, it's an odd one. I mean, it's the first time they've played together, obviously, since probably, when was it, She Believes, like back in March. So, yeah, I watched the first game and you wouldn't put any of the goals necessarily down to the defence. I mean, the first one's a very well-worked goal. Second one's an error from the goalkeeper. And the third one is across the back post. So there weren't really any individual errors, but it is somewhat worrying that we're sort of seeing that pattern. I mean, Neve Charles actually played right back in that defence alongside Steph, Millie
and Alex.
She was
out of position, yeah.
And she was actually the best of them. You know, she played really well in the first game. She got forward well. She was good defensively. And I don't know. I don't know whether it's time to break that partnership up. I mean, I wouldn't do it based off two training games because they are obviously very different circumstances. But I think, you know, if we get to the Germany game next month and we're still seeing these issues with England defensively, I think there's going to come a time to make a change. You know, it's almost a sort of taboo subject to talk about Steph and her form because she's captain, but, you know, she's 32, she's had injuries, you know, she's going to be as affected by that as anyone. She's not immune. And at the end of the day, if the performances are not there and there's errors, you know, you have to come out and give someone else a turn. I don't think, you know, Steph starts every single game for England, which is fair enough. You know, she's the captain and any manager would want Steph in there for her leadership alone. But, you know, I don't think any other player has a given right to start. And I think there's nothing against starting someone else and seeing if it works. You know, we're playing friendlies at the moment. We don't have a competitive match, you know, with the Euros. Obviously, we've qualified for them anyway. So why not experiment? You know, Grace Fisk did really, really well in the game I watched.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah,
she
didn't play.
Really good. So just give her a go.
She didn't play in the second game. So just to kind of give you the kind of overall picture, folks, if you're listening, the first game, 3-0 to the Whites. And then basically to make it really confusing, as if, you know, as if England home and England away wasn't confusing enough, and Ellen White was playing for the Whites and Beth England was playing, you know, all of that stuff. The second game was a 2-1 win to the Reds, but essentially the Reds the second time round were the Whites the first time round. So it's that team who basically won both the games. I think also, Rich, in that game where the Reds were this back three of Steph, Millie and Alex Greenwood together, they were playing a 3-4-3 as well, and a couple of people have sort of come out and said, look, that's perhaps a bit too much of an unknown quantity to get a side ready for. Obviously the coaching staff, they're kind of playing around with formations, and that the 3-4-3 didn't help those back three at all. And because it gets confusing, because there've been two games in total to have a look at here, let's have a look at players who impressed us. I mean, one really obvious one to mention, Fran Kirby. She was, you know, really, really pivotal. She was in the winning side for both games. So she was part of that Ellen White's for the first game, and just looked really sharp. I thought her decision-making precision was really good as well. And you know, I think it continues along the line of her league form as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think with Fran, we questioned as soon as Phil Neville came in as Lionesses manager whether Fran was right for that number 10 role, and it probably shows just how potentially out of form or out of fitness maybe she was in the time building up to this, because we didn't see those kind of performances in that role, whereas at the weekend in the first game I watched, she was all over the place. You know, she looked sharp, she was running in behind, she was creating chances. I think she put the cross in for Ella Toon's goal, and she was just all around, like you said. She just built on those WSL performances. I mean, I watched her in the Community Shield at Wembley, and she was probably the best player for Chelsea, you know, which is always an outstanding achievement given the players that they've got. So it's great to see her back. It's great to see her fit and well and happy, because, you know, we know how good a player she is. Just hope she can build on it, get a run of form. I don't think there's any guarantee any player starts in that Chelsea team. I think we've seen Harder on the bench a couple of times already, and they're so stacked up front that I'm sure we'll see Fran on the bench as well at times. But I don't think there's any reason for Emma to take her out at the moment, because she's been outstanding so far, and it's just great to see her with a smile on her face.
She has. She's certainly been winning a lot of the early headlines, both in club form and from this match as well. I also think that another player really lighting it up in the league and did very well here, Beth Mead. And I think sometimes she gets a little overlooked because other people sort of steal the big headline, as it were. But I mean, Beth Mead, very consistent player over recent seasons. And I think she's just looking great again.
Yeah, she got another assist yesterday, I think. She's sort of becoming known for that now, isn't she? Which is, it's strange because, you know, when Beth was at Sunderland, she was kind of known as the out and out number nine, the goal scorer. And she's never really been that since. She obviously does score a lot of goals, but she's always played out wide for Arsenal, and she plays out wide now for England. So, yeah, I think last season, I think the year before, she almost set her standards so high, you know, breaking the assists record. And she scored the goal against Brazil for England, obviously, which got a lot of attention at She Believes. And I think last season possibly didn't live up to that, but I think it was hard to live up to that. She still had a good season, but she kind of put herself in the firing line as one of those players now you looked at and scrutinised a bit more because she was a bigger name. I think at the start of this season now, she's contributing again for Arsenal, for England, and she's just one of those, you don't always look at her as the standout, but
no,
she's
just sort of plugs away.
Yeah, she's always one of the first names on the team. She chips in, you know, even if you don't notice, she'll always pick up an assist or she'll always pick up a goal, even if she's not, you know, when you're playing with Vivian Miedema, it's hard to be the outstanding player, but she just always seems to contribute.
Mm. And these circumstances, they always throw themselves up. You mentioned about Neve Charles coming in because Lucy Bronze, she was managing a slight knock, so she wasn't part of this England camp. She withdrew. And at right back, she did shine. And sometimes these situations happen. Someone gets an opportunity. And that might really please Phil Neville to know that he has got some options.
Oh, I loved watching, you know, some of the youngsters coming in because they were fearless. You know, it was a training match. They just gave it their all. And you know, Neve was great. I have to say I was a little bit surprised to see her lining up at right back, but she got forward well, she did well defensively, she was strong in the tackle, and obviously Ella Toon came on and scored with a header. I don't think anyone's ever seen Ella Toon head the ball in her life, so that was nice for her. Esme Morgan scored yesterday as well, which was...
She was at right back, wasn't she, for the other team? And I thought, you know, it's kind of interesting times for her as well, because obviously she's got competition, hasn't she, at City from Lucy Bronze, but that's only really going to benefit her, isn't it?
Yeah, it will. And, you know, they're talented players. They wouldn't be in the England squad if they weren't. So for Esme, it is about game time. Ella's getting that at Man United at the moment. I hope it continues. Obviously, there's a lot of competition in that position now with the Americans coming in, with Lauren James, with Russo, with the German girl they signed, obviously Lucy Staniforth to come back as well. So hopefully Ella does keep playing once these players are now fit and ready to start, because she's a very good talent. But yeah, it was great. You know, it was great to see those players involved. And like you said, Grace Fisk was great. Lotta Ubomoey got some minutes. Even Babajide, you know, championship player, she came on in the first game and was actually really lively.
Yeah, I thought Izzy Christiansen was very good again. You know, she's sort of continued this rejuvenation of form, a bit like Fran Kirby really being out for a time, not as long as Fran though, but obviously coming in, and she's had a great start to the season. She scored in the second fixture of these training matches. Anyone that you saw, Rich, that we haven't seen a lot of for the Lionesses in terms of newer players, younger players, who really impressed you?
I think probably the defenders, like I say, you know, I thought Grace Fisk was really, really good in the first game. I think Ubomoey, when she comes on, she's very, very calm, good on the ball, good playing out.
So I wanted to pick up on her, because there's going to be a lot of people listening to this podcast that's like, what? Lotta Ubomoey? Not heard much about her. And the reason for that is that she's been in the States for a long time. So anyone who follows WSL religiously might be thinking, you know, where have a few of these players that Phil Neville selected come from?
Suddenly and often, popped up from.
Yeah, often it's the USA, and often actually it's Tar Heels. A lot of them are at North Carolina. I know a couple of players that have come back from over there. And with the COVID situation, and in the case of Lotta, she's actually forgone her last year of study because of the COVID situation to come back to England. I mean, it's just thrown so much uncertainty, hasn't it? But she was part of Arsenal youth, and she's gone back there. She's signed for Arsenal, centre back, holding midfielder, and she was actually captain for the under 21 England side. So it's obviously someone that within the ranks they've really rated highly.
Yeah,
they've got their eyes on her.
She played in a spring series as well, I think, which feels like, I mean, it probably was years ago now, right, if we work it out properly. But she certainly put in a good account for, in fact, Arsenal were unbeaten during that spring series. And I think she started in every one. So for those kind of longer term fans, you might have spotted her there. But she's been away, as so many of them do. You have these, you know, arrangements with top colleges over in the States, and she's come back. And do you think she'll go back to the US to finish it off eventually, Rich? Do we know what her sort of mid to long term path is?
No, I'm not sure. I mean, obviously she's back at Arsenal now, which is great for her. You know, she grew up there, and I think she was always likely to end up back there if Arsenal wanted her. So I think for the players that went over there that were top level, like you said, they were playing for UNC, which is one of the best universities out there, her and Alessia Russo, who's obviously gone to Man United.
Yeah,
you know, they're super talents, and when you play at that level, you know, you've got to be one of the top players to go and play at that university, and then that just leads you on to get a top club when you come back, and they both have. And I think, I'm sure they would have known, you know, I think they would have stayed out there if they didn't have the offers to come back. I think once you find out Arsenal want you and Manchester United want you, it's an easy decision to go professional with the situation in America as it is at the moment. So, yeah, it's great for her. She's a very, very good player. Again, it'll be about game time in that Arsenal defence now. You know, it's changed a lot since she was here in, I think it was 2017 when the Spring Series was. So, but, yeah, I think...
Do you think which, though, ultimately, all the imports from America, when you take a step back and look at the picture, we are obviously concerned about game time, but ultimately, will the league benefit from these players coming over, depending on how long they stay, rather than it potentially affect some of the development of the younger English players?
Yeah, I've had this argument with a lot of people recently, to be honest, and I always say at the end of the day that the clubs want to win. You know, Emma Hayes wants to win, Gareth Taylor wants to win, Montemurro wants to win, Casey wants to win, and you're going to pick the best players, whether they're English or not English. And I think it's a challenge to the English players to be better.
You Raise know, their game, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And look, there's a lot of them playing. You look at the young English players at the moment. Grace Fisk is playing regularly at West Ham. Manchester City, you've got Lauren Hemp playing regularly. Kira Walsh has always played regularly. Georgia Stanway, you've got Lauren James playing regularly at Man United. Ella Toon, Millie Turner, you know, Katie Zellum. And at the end of the day, they're playing because they're good enough. You know, people say, oh, the foreign players are coming in. But there's still a lot of the very top English players, the top English youngsters are playing. And at the end of the day, the ones who are not playing, it's because they're not as good as the foreign players. So you can't play players just to benefit England. You know, these clubs want to win things. They want to win the WSL. They want to win the FA Cup. They want to win the Champions League. And they're going to go out and get the best players. And if Emma Hayes thinks, well, Pernille Harder is better than, you know, one of my English players, which she probably is. She's possibly the best player in the world right now. Why would you not want that? You know, that they're not there to just solely develop the national team. They're there to win trophies. So it's a balance. But I always say the best English players, they will play. And they are playing. I think you look at all our top youngsters at the moment and they're all playing regularly in the WSL.
And we've just used an example as well of a couple of young players that have been using the US education system to get a better scholarship, to be able to hone their football skills, to bring those back here. It works both ways.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I think 3-4 years ago, we probably weren't in the position as a league to offer the young players the opportunities that they have now. And they went to America, but you can't blame them for that. You know, the setup over there to get top education alongside, you know, top football as well. You know, you don't get that anywhere else in the world. And I'm sure we'll still see players go and do that. But I don't think we're seeing it as much. You know, we're not seeing the top youngsters going abroad. We're not seeing the Lauren Hemps and players like that decide to go to America because they're getting opportunities now to train full time, to really develop as a footballer, which they weren't having 3-4 years ago. So I think it does work both ways. And at the end of the day, you know, Lotta, Alessia, players like that, they will benefit from America and that will only help us moving forward. But I think you will see it less and less now, COVID or no COVID. I mean, the COVID situation is not going to help in terms of players who want to go to the US at the moment. But I think even without it, the league is in a much better place now to give the young players what they couldn't have 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Well, let's move away from the Lionesses then. And next up, preview the FA Cup quarterfinals.
This is the Offside Rule WSL edition, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. The Athletic is the only place you can read articles by Amy Lawrence, Nancy Frostick, David Ornstein, Ollie Kay, and the very best football writers around. If you're not yet a subscriber, take out a free 30-day trial right now by heading to theathletic.com/offside.
So this weekend then sees the FA Cup quarterfinals return, the completion of this competition with fixtures returning from last season. And some more great news for this competition because they have got a new 3-year sponsorship deal with Vitality this time, who take over from SSE. And we need to see more commercial deals, of course, in women's football. Rich Laverty, we'll bring you back in because, one, it's a bit of an odd thing that we have to complete these fixtures now. Do you think that has any effect on players' mentality?
No, I think once they get out on the pitch, it will just feel like another game. I think for the rest of us, yeah, it's been a bit strange. Keep forgetting the FA Cup is actually still to complete, and that we have, you know, four really big games this weekend. But it's exciting. It's quite exciting to actually have something this big to look forward to so early in the season, if you get what I mean, even though it's last season, technically. Yeah. But we've been so starved of football to sort of instantly come back and have four really big games between top teams is really exciting. But it's a strange scenario, definitely. But I think we can still look forward to it, and I'm sure the players are looking forward to it.
Is it a bit of a weird scramble, though, Rich, without harking on about it too much? You've only had two league games. Now we're revisiting. Well, then there were some, you know, odd training ground friendlies between the England players. Now they're back, but they're playing last season's FA Cup fixtures. And then we've got afterwards the semi-finals to come straight after this as well. Does it feel like, God, just get on with the league, for God's sake?
A little bit. I mean, for us in the Championship, it's not too bad.
No, I know, because you're still playing.
Yeah, we still play this weekend. It's worked out quite well, actually, because obviously one team in the Championship doesn't play every week anyway, and it's just handily we can let Leicester do that this week because they have an FA Cup match. So, yeah, for us, it's not too bad, but, you know, it is what it is, and we've got to have them. We've got to get it finished. And like I said, I think it's exciting because they're four, actually, in their own ways, four quite intriguing games.
Mead and acres of space, runners into the box. It's tapped in. Vivian Miedemar with her second of the afternoon, and Arsenal's fourth. Press, Horan, lovely ball, Morgan. Fabulous goal, Alex Morgan on her 30th birthday.
Motivationally, they're not going to need much to get them fired up for Arsenal against Spurs. This is on BBC Two, Saturday, 5:15pm kickoff. I want to start with your thoughts about this one, because Tottenham will be spurred on by signing Alex Morgan. Molly Hudson, in one of her reports, said that she understands Alex Morgan will be eligible to play for Spurs at the weekend and is involved in team training. So that could give them a real lift. But of course, Arsenal have started, in terms of the league, they've been on fire.
Yeah, I think Arsenal at the moment, you know, are the favourites for that game. I know it's a North London derby and we always big it up, but there is still a little bit, I mean, not as much as it was a few years ago when we were seeing Arsenal beat Tottenham like 10-0 in cup games, but there's still a bit of a gap there. But, you know, obviously there'll be a lot of intrigue around Alex Morgan. I'm just disappointed we didn't see any like direct transfers between these teams in the summer. I don't think there's anyone who could actually play against a former club, which is a shame because it would have been quite weird, obviously, players starting the FA Cup with one club and then playing against their former club. But there will obviously be a lot of new signings on show. And yeah, Alex, I think everyone will be watching and seeing how she gets on.
She's got to be on the bench, hasn't she? I mean, yeah, just for the fact that it's on BBC Two, right? They're going to have to bring her on, or at least put her there in some way, shape or form.
Been out so long as well. And obviously she's had a child, you know, in the period of time. So she won't have even been training really until recently. I don't know how often she's been able to train with Tottenham, but I don't think she's going to be anywhere near, you know, peak level that we saw at the World Cup last year, for example. But, you know, it's Alex Morgan, isn't it? Out of the Americans that have come over, she probably is the most recognisable name and recognisable face worldwide. So, yeah, you know, I think everyone
perhaps a sub, a late sub, I reckon, for her. If she's not match fit, perhaps she's fitter than we think she is. But otherwise, I think she'll feature, but towards the end of the game, maybe, if she can. All right, well, let's speak to someone now who is part of the Arsenal squad, defender Jen Beattie. Jen, welcome to the show. It's really lovely to have you on. It's been years since I last spoke to you. I think the last time I spoke to you, we were in the fan zone at the Etihad Stadium many, many years ago. You were at Man City then, so a long time ago. It's great to have you with us. Can I ask how you've been? How's lockdown been? I'm interested to know from people who've learnt skills. Like, have you learnt a language? Have you done something impressive with that time?
Good question. I did manage to do an online marketing course.
Oh, good.
It was called Football in Marketing. So it actually was like an 8-week course, and that I actually really enjoyed it. It obviously, like anyone, I had a lot more time on my hands to try some different things. And I did do a business degree when I was younger, so I kind of wanted to stay in that sort of area, if I can say that. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad I did it. So
is that sort of something you're interested in sort of taking forward, the whole business marketing side of it, or was it just kind of to satisfy a curiosity?
I've definitely always enjoyed the marketing aspect of business, but it kind of came up through the PFA. They were kind of offering free courses to every player who was a member of the PFA. So I kind of jumped at it. I was like, that's a brilliant opportunity to sort of keep my mind taking over since there's no games to sort of focus on. So yeah, credit to the PFA basically for offering.
Yeah, really good shout from them, definitely. And how are you doing? You've had a bit of a back injury. How's sort of fitness, how's preparation going? Are we likely to see you back soon?
No, it's going really well. Obviously, I had a little procedure done, which will hopefully have reduced my rehab time by quite a fair amount, to be fair. But nah, look, it's been tough missing the start of the season, especially after coming out of lockdown and getting things going again. But, you know, the girls have done amazingly, so I just can't wait to get back out there.
Well, hopefully it's not long to wait. I don't suppose you're back for this weekend. It is an enticing tie, isn't it? It's weird, though, sort of having this kind of overhang of the FA Cup, of course. Is it a good thing, ultimately, or is it sort of, does it all feel a bit congested, sort of having this hangover from last season?
No, I think, to be honest, the girls would have taken any opportunity to get football back going. I think especially with the FA Cup, it's such a huge sort of, you know, those games are massive within the calendar, and to take away the opportunity potentially to play at Wembley and those kind of games and lift a trophy, those kind of opportunities are the ones that girls want to be involved with. And so I think it's credit to the FA for not sort of taking those games away. Of course, it is a little bit strange that being such a big gap between the last one, it's sort of think, right, okay, it's a quarter final. That's the, you know, it's a big game, but, and obviously it's against Spurs, makes it even bigger. But no, girls, I think, are just happy to see the games being resumed and getting back to it.
Yeah, we'll talk more on that in just a moment. The good news that Jill Roard and Vivian Miedema have been nominated for WSL Player of the Month. Your manager as well, up for Manager of the Month. You know, times feel like they're good there. They're certainly not, you're certainly not struggling in terms of scoring goals. And although she's injured now, I'd love to know what Jill Roard's been eating over the summer to come back and score two successive hat-tricks. It's so impressive.
No, yeah, I think we'd all want to know, to be honest. But no, the girls have done an unbelievable job and worked really hard coming back in to, you know, keep themselves taking over lockdown and as a team coming together in July. And, you know, especially that game going to PSG, coming away, you know, after losing to PSG, it was obviously a disappointing start. But then to start this actual season the way we have done, I think has lifted the squad, you know, back to where we were content with, and we just need to keep pushing on from now. But like you say, with Vivian and Jill in their sort of state of play they're in with the goals they've been scoring, you know, long may it continue.
Spurs at the weekend, so FA Cup quarterfinal. Is there kind of a rivalry there yet, or because Spurs are kind of fairly new, certainly within the WSL, they've only been there for a season, into their second season now, is it not as big as the rivalry, perhaps, if you were up against a team like Chelsea?
No, I think it's still a London derby. I think it will always be a London derby. Spurs would no doubt have improved from last season, as has everyone. So it's another big game. I think the level of respect for every team now is definitely there and will continue, because the level has just improved, and it always will be. It always will improve, sorry. So yeah, no, we'll be going into that game thinking it will be a very tough game, and it's a London derby, so that just adds a whole level of competitiveness.
What did you make of the Alex Morgan signing? Because that, I mean, it came out of nowhere for a lot of us journalists. I think it did kind of within the football fraternity as well, and suddenly you've got this megastar turning up at Spurs. What's your take on it?
No, look, it's great for the game. I think for this league to improve, it sort of, to see players come into this league and improve the game and improve teams and improve competitiveness around the whole league, I think it will only do nothing but improve everyone. And they're the kind of players that people want to be come up against every weekend. So it will just be interesting. Of course, most of the Americans have just signed 6-month contracts, so it will be interesting to see how the rest of the season actually goes. But no, for attention drawn to the league, I think it's brilliant. And you know, it's credit to the clubs for taking that step forward.
You've obviously got your own contingent of Aussie players, Steph Catley joining Caitlin Ford, Lydia Williams too. Just tell us a little bit about Steph. We've obviously seen her in action so far. And has the Aussie contingent started to take over when it comes to dressing room music? Have they got you to learn any strange Australian songs? Have they brought in any weird food?
No, they've all been great. They're all such outgoing, good characters to have. And Lydia's actually taking the fort in the gym music, I would say. She has quite a good range of old music, so that's been great. They've all settled in really well, to be honest. It's been great. They've been great signings, and on and off the pitch, they've really, from what I've seen, settled in really well. So they've been fantastic additions to the squad.
And in terms of, you know, targets for this season, silverware, you're obviously still in, it sounds so weird, still in last season's FA Cup. That's what this weekend is all about. And you don't have the, and I'm not going to say that it's a distraction, but obviously you do have time, perhaps more time to kind of focus on the domestic competitions in front of you. Where are the targets this season? It feels like it's going to be hugely competitive. And actually, with new players to settle at Man City and a couple of iffy results for them, we don't really know if Chelsea's going to continue to tick or whether Emma's going to keep everyone happy there. It feels like a really exciting time for Arsenal.
Yeah, look, you said it yourself, it's going to be a really competitive season. The players we signed and the way that we're going, we're a very ambitious group. I don't think you sign for Arsenal without wanting to lift silverware. Obviously, it is quite a congested calendar, so we'll kind of take each game as it comes, and it is quite bizarre being in the FA Cup from last year, but we're glad it's still there, of course. But no, silverware will always be the goal, I think, for us. But right now, we kind of have to take it one game. We've obviously started really well in the league, so we'll try and keep that consistency and that momentum going to the cup tie at the weekend and go from there.
Jen Beattie, Arsenal defender there. Well, on to Everton versus Chelsea. Now, this is a really interesting tie as well.
Into the pass of Govan. Govan with a shot. Govan to score on her debut.
Receives it back from Kerr. Oh, and that is, what a fantastic goal. Camilla Harder. That is world class.
Everton 2 wins out of 2. Obviously, Chelsea had that draw, didn't they, on the first league match of the season. Izzy Christiansen, again, excited to see her. Do we think from Emma Hayes, though, she might start to begin to keep all those players happy by perhaps not running with a B team, but making the most of her depth in this one, Rich?
I think she will, but you look at the players she can bring in. I mean, players like Pernille Harder have been on the bench, so you probably look at her starting this weekend and you just think, they're not going to get any weaker with the players they bring in. So, again, might see the likes of Neve Charles involved. But
what do you think the attacking lineup will be? Because that's the thing that we don't seem to have settled on.
I think you'll definitely see Pernille playing. I hope we see Fran Kirby playing as well, because I think it's important for her to keep that momentum up. Maybe Erin Cuthbert playing a little further forward, I'm not sure, but
I think it's an interesting. Rested,
yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. I think it's an interesting one for Everton, really, because obviously they've invested a lot this season. Mm. It's a completely different team to last year, and this is going to be their best test of where are we now. You know, if they get beat 3-4-0, you wouldn't be surprised, because it's Chelsea, but it will give them a really good idea of sort of how far they've come, but also how far they've got to go as well in terms of becoming one of those top 3 or 4 teams.
Well, that fixture on Sunday. Also on Sunday, the later kickoff, Brighton and Hove Albion versus Birmingham City.
Away as far as the edge of the box, Chelsea struggling to get it clear here. It's in. Unbelievable. Brighton may well have run it. Closing down there by Green, and that's physical from Walker, but fair. 1-1.
Good in that we'll see either of those teams in the semi-finals. What have you made of both sides, Rich? You know, Brighton, I've been impressed by their consistency, a win and a draw so far. Birmingham, we were really worried about them, but they seem to have done, you know, better in terms of not looking quite so disjointed in their last game, although it was a loss to Manchester United. You know Carla Ward really well, don't you? She was it a surprise
to you when she left? Because it was all quite sort of sudden, wasn't it really? It didn't feel like it had been in the planning for a long time.
No, it was a surprise, but it wasn't. I mean, I don't think anything's a surprise in football. You know, things like this happen, and you know, I'm not privy to the details. And obviously, Carla's got a great opportunity to go to the WSL. You know, she's still a young manager. She's only been doing it less than 3 years, and I think it shows the impact that she had with Sheffield United, that a team like Birmingham, you know, they could have got someone more established. They could have gone out and got someone who's sort of been there, done that, you know, steady name. And actually, they took a chance on Carla. And I think I spoke to her a lot the last few weeks, and I think the signs, she's quite positive about the situation. I think she would have liked maybe one or two more players through the door. But first game against Brighton, they were fairly steady. I think they needed some goals, obviously, which they found against Man United, which I think surprised a few people. Obviously, they came out on the wrong end. But I think Carla is quite positive about it. I think the players are really buying into what she's trying to do. And I think, you know, we had that last year. I think she's very good at getting players to buy into a way of playing and a belief. And I think this week it's kind of a free hit. You know, neither of those teams are going to be looking at the FA Cup probably and saying we're going to win it. But, you know, for one of them, like you said, one will be in the semi-final, and all of a sudden you're only one game away from Wembley. So I'm sure they'll be taking it seriously. But I think if they come out of it on the wrong end, you know, they'll dust it off and sort of move on quickly.
Leicester City, last minute of the game. Natasha Flint, right into the corner. Fran Kitchen gets the right way.
Free kick to be taken, and it's Horton who drills it low and in. And City have an early lead.
Let's move on to the last fixture then, Leicester City versus Manchester City. Emil Heskey has a new role as LCFC Women Ambassador. Have you been impressed with Leicester, the way that they're approaching the women's game, Rich?
I have, but they're a rival, so I want to beat them as well.
Yeah.
but yeah, look, it's great to see more clubs investing. They've put together a good squad, and it's really interesting because obviously when they beat Reading, you know, it was such a different team to the one that is going to play Manchester City. And obviously a little bit hard, you know, probably most of the players in that team are not going to play in this one because they're not at the club anymore. But it's, you know, give them a better chance of obviously giving Manchester City a game. I think, you know, Man City are obviously the big favourites for it. But
what are your thoughts on Manchester City? Because they obviously were held to a draw, weren't they, by Brighton last weekend. Should we be worried at all about that? Any sort of concerns for you?
I think Man City have always been one of those teams. They don't really put teams to the sword. They win games 1-0, 2-0. And I was a little bit surprised they didn't reinforce their attack a little bit. You know, if they don't have Ellen White available, who else do they have that's going to score the goals? You know, Chloe Kelly's a very good player, but she's still working her way into that team at that level. Lauren Hemp's out injured at the moment, which was obviously a blow for them because she's, you know, an exceptional talent. And beyond Ellen, you know, you do really look at it and say, who's going to get, you know, double figures in terms of goals? So I think for Man City, they'll be pleased that Ellen got a couple of goals in the first England game on Friday, because I think that's going to help any striker. But look, they had chances against Brighton, and ordinarily they would have won that game. But they're not a team like Arsenal or Chelsea who are going to score 6, 7, 8, 9 a game. It's just not going to happen. But it's just a really interesting game because I think for Leicester, you've actually got Remy Allen and Sophie Howard who were in the Reading team that got knocked out by Leicester in the last round. And now they've actually got to play in that game anyway. So that's just another part of the kind of the COVID craziness.
Yeah. Are we going to see Rose Lavelle, do you think?
I hope so.
Yeah.
As someone who's been to Leicester's ground and the away changing rooms, I think it'd be a bit of a culture shock for them as a first game. But I think we will. I think it's a good opportunity to get Rose some minutes. Obviously, we've seen Sam Mewis already. So, and again, Man City, you know, they don't have the biggest squad. So I don't think they'll actually be able to rotate all that much, and I think after a draw last week they'll probably want to get some momentum up. So I think Man City will play probably about as strong a team as they can, to be honest.
Leicester are the only Championship team left in the quarterfinals of this FA Cup. And I just wonder, Rich, how often we're going to see a Championship team get this far down in the competition going forward. We've seen how much investment's happening in the top tier in the WSL. Is it starting to make this competition really tough for those lower sides? And that's what the FA Cup's all about, is these giant killings. But they look like they're probably going to be fewer and farer between.
Yeah, I mean, it's luck of the draw, isn't it? That's the great thing about the FA Cup. You could play, I think you have to play 2-3 games to get to the quarterfinals. And at the end of the day, if you're lucky enough to draw teams around you or below you, then you've got a chance. But, you know, I think Liverpool, Leicester, Sheffield United, Durham, I think if they got drawn against your Bristols, your Birminghams, your Aston Villas, I think they'd back themselves. I really do. I don't think there's that big a gap between the top Championship teams now that have the top players, and obviously some of them are full-time, and the clubs at the bottom of the WSL. So, you know, yeah, if you draw the Cities, the Uniteds, the Chelseas, the Arsenals, yes, it's almost impossible. But I think even we showed last season in the Conti Cup, you know, we beat Liverpool away from home. It's actually a year ago today, so I'm just going to drop that in because that was a good day. And we got to the quarterfinals and obviously drew Manchester City, which was great for us. So I think you'll still see it. I think, you know, you do need a bit of luck with the draw, but I think the top three or four are capable of beating some of the WSL teams, in my opinion.
Well, the winner of that game, Leicester-Manchester City, will play either Arsenal or Tottenham. The winner of either Brighton or Birmingham will play in the semi-finals, Everton or Chelsea. Let's get some predictions from you, Rich, shall we? So who do you see through to the semi-finals then? Brighton or Birmingham for that fixture?
My heart wants Birmingham, but I think Brighton will do it. They've just been solid so far, and I think they'll nick it. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was Birmingham, but I'll go with Brighton.
Okay, and then Everton or Chelsea?
I got to go with Chelsea. It's just too strong.
Linz, let's do you for the next one. Leicester or Manchester City?
I'm afraid it's got to be Man City, hasn't it, for that one?
Yeah. And Arsenal or Spurs?
Arsenal, the way they've started the season, with or without Alex Morgan, I'm afraid Tottenham are going to be put to the sword there. So Man City, Arsenal for the other semi-final. And then a reminder that these are going to be quite quickly followed on from the quarterfinals, because these fixtures go Wednesday the 30th of September and the second one being on Thursday the 1st of October. So not much recovery time.
So if you've got Brighton, Chelsea, that would be probably Chelsea through to the final, right, Rich? And then City or Arsenal, if those sides get through after the quarterfinals to the semis, who would you put in the final against Chelsea, City or Arsenal?
Arsenal.
Yeah, I think right now you'd probably go with Arsenal. I think Man City are away again, aren't they? They seem to get away every single semi-final they ever draw. So I think that makes a big difference. But the way Arsenal have started the season, you go with Arsenal. But look, Man City, you can't rule them out. They're always capable of pulling a result off in the big games. But the way Arsenal started this season, I'd look at a Chelsea-Arsenal final at the moment.
There we go.
Well, thank you very much, Rich, for your time this week. That is it for this week's show. On The Athletic, you can read an interview with former Manchester City manager Nick Cushing, and that's out on Tuesday evening.
If you missed it, by the way, Sarah Shepherd's piece on Jane Ludlow and why she would be the ideal person to take over the Olympics squad. Phil Neville's firmly put his hat in the ring for it, but that piece from Sarah Shepherd on Jane Ludlow is really interesting. In the meantime, we'll be back next week following the FA Cup quarterfinals, ready to preview the semis. Very exciting. We'll let you know who joins us in due course.
Yeah, and we'll also see whether our predictions come to fruition as well. Until then, we'll keep up with all we're doing on Twitter and Insta. It's at OffsideRulePod, and our website, where we've got lots of new content, is OffsideRulePodcast.com.
Rich, keep safe, enjoy the weekend's fixtures, good luck against the Bees, and I'm sure we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you.
And to everyone else listening, goodbye, stay safe, we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to the Offside Rule WSL edition, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Keep up to date with everything Offside Rule at OffsideRulePodcast.com and by following at Offside Rule Pod on Twitter and Insta. Check out all of the Athletic's football podcasts on Apple, Spotify and all the usual places, or listen ad-free on the Athletic app. The Offside Rule WSL edition is a Muddy Knees Media production.
Hi, I'm Adam Leventhal, and I'm here to tell you about the latest podcast from The Athletic, Beyond the Headline. We're going to be taking an even deeper look at some of the extraordinary stories that have captured the football world.
It just looks like the most sort of miserable marriage. It's been a loveless marriage from day one, really.
We've got the most authoritative voices in football to take you right to the heart of the action.
That season was just such a toxic, I mean, it was the most unbelievable season I think I've covered, and there've been a few of those.
It all starts on September 21st with a three-part special on Newcastle United and the takeover that never was.
The lack of ambition in the club in the last 10, 12 years has flattened people in this city. I think it could be a legacy lost.
That's Beyond the Headline, the latest podcast from The Athletic. Available wherever you get your podcasts or get it ad-free via The Athletic app.
Muddy Knees Media.